back.
Read it.
I know.
That's all you're going to do is hand them out.
Oh, 6 o'clock. Oh, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming. I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. Please stand for a moment of silence and then join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I don't see Jody.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Mr. Hammond, when you're ready, roll call, please.
Mr. DeAngelis is not with us this evening. Mrs. Fenn?
Present.
Mr. Gullup?
Present.
Mr. Hershberger?
Here.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. I need a motion to approve the minutes from the December 2nd special meeting, please.
So moved.
Thank you. I have a first. May I have a second?
Yep.
Thank you. Mr. Gullup was the first. Mr. Shafrath was the second. May we have the vote, please?
Mr. Gullup?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yep.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Her?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to ask if there's any discussion.
That's okay.
Okay, thank you. We're now moving into student recognition. Oh.
Principal will read them.
Mrs. Fenn, the principal reads the names.
Mrs. Ollinger.
Perfect. I just want to take a minute before we start to our Students of the Month. I wanted to take a moment to say thank you to the school board and thank you to our PTO for supporting Camp New Hop for our sixth graders. It's a great opportunity for our kiddos, and because of the school board's approval, and PTO does a fantastic donation to make sure all of our sixth graders have the opportunity to go. I just wanted to take a moment having the ability to do that every year. Moving into our amazing December Students of the Month. At CIS, our Students of the Month are earned by our teachers for our kiddos that work hard every day, who are kind to others, and who are positive role models. So our December Students of the Month. In third grade, we have Sierra Zimmer. Sierra is always happy, positive, and hardworking. She is an amazing example to her peers and is kind to everyone. Her work ethic is something that everyone should strive for. We also have Bray Price. Bray always has an interesting fact to share with his teachers. He works hard daily and takes pride in his work. We are proud of the focus in each day. In fourth grade, we have Journey Board. Journey is a hard worker and is an asset to her fourth grade class. She always has a smile on her face, is kind to others, and is helpful to her teachers. We also have Braxton Eby. Braxton works hard in class, participates in class discussions, and is kind to his classmates and teachers each day. In fifth grade, we have Olivia Walk. Olivia is a pleasure to have in class. Her smile and positive attitude are contagious. She puts forth her best effort each. Thank you, Olivia, for being such a great leader in the classroom. We also have Lincoln Rethmel. Lincoln is motivated to do well. He's an active participant in class discussions on a daily basis, asking and answering questions. He is kind to his classmates and respectful to his teachers. Keep up the great, Lincoln. And in sixth grade, we have Andy Johnson. Andy is very kind, is a very kind, cheerful young lady. Her positivity shines at school. She is a hard worker and is very helpful to her classmates. And in sixth grade, we also have Griffin Hershberger, a polite young man who works hard in his classes. He is a good role model for his peers and is always respectful and responsible. Great job, CIS students.
And now to introduce our Hazel Harvey Students of the Month, I will begin with kindergarten. We have two. Our first is Hazley Wilmoth. The kindergarten team would like to nominate Hazley Wilmoth for Student of the Month. Hazley is not only kind to all of her friends in kindergarten, but she is also a very hard worker. She loves to volunteer and helps others with it. She has set a great example for other students, not just this month, but every day in the classroom. I am very happy to have her in both reading and math. Our second kindergartner is Gunnar Thompson. The kindergarten team would like to nominate Gunnar Thompson for Student of the Month because he is so polite and friendly to everyone. He shares whatever he has and truly wants to see others succeed as much as himself. He's working so hard in the classroom to be the best student possible. Gunnar has a smile that can light up a room. I don't think it is possible to not be smiling when you're around him. He 100% makes our day better. First grade, we have Caden Strauss. The first grade team would like to nominate Caden Strauss. Caden is always prepared for class, does neat work. He is a good listener and tries his best. And we have Marley Langeth. Marley is enthusiastic, well-behaved, and kind to everyone. She always does her best and is a leader among her peers. Positive attitude shines, and she shows that she's excited to learn new concepts. Marley has made lots of new friends since she moved here from Florida, and she can't wait for her first big Ohio snow. I can wait. Marley is an example for others, and her parents can be very proud of their daughter. Second grade, we have Graham Stahl. Graham is a caring, hardworking student that is eager to learn and participate in class. He is polite and shares his knowledge of math with other students. Graham is a shining example of a Chippewa student. And then we have Noah Gosen. All right, Noah is a model student. Oh, Noah? Oh, yep. Did I see Noah? Not see Noah, I just saw him. Noah is a model student. He comes prepared to class every day and ready to learn. While in class, he always tries his best and waits patiently for his turn. He loves to learn and is often found completing extra assignments in the classroom during his free time and while at home. Noah is very kind to his peers, and he is considerate of others' feelings. He is quick to congratulate and forgive others. I am thankful for Noah, and that is why he is the second grade November Student of the Month. Congratulations.
The Chippewa Junior Senior High School Students of the Month, we do have one here due to illness and things. The one that is here is ninth grader Abigail Sines. Abby Sines is an excellent student and a nice person. She has a positive and friendly personality in and out of the classroom. She does her best in class and has shown she is very artistic and detail-oriented. She takes her time on her work and shows that she cares. The other students of the month that weren't able to make it, we have 7th grader Emmy Donnelly, 8th grader Delaney Marshall, 10th grader Addison Good, 11th grader Kenzie Jones, and 12th grader Haley Famey.
Thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations to our students.
So that brings it to me.
Yes, it does.
All right. So our needle mover tonight, as you can see in the agenda, is Mr. Rick McMerrill. Rick is a math superstar here at Chippewa Junior Senior High School. Mr. McMerrill has done his math teaching and always has time for student questions. Mr. McMerrill has consistently brought up the Algebra State graduate scores. This past year, he's able to grow his students well over the state's expectations. This current school year, he has taken on the advanced 7th and 8th grade math students as well. So as superintendent of our district, I'd like to thank him for everything he's done in being a leader in our math department, and he is a man of character and talent that was a terrific role model for our and our staff. So Rick, I see you hiding back here in the back. I'm going to make you come all the way up front for this.
Do we get to clap now? Woo! Look at him. Decades behind. Oh, good. I've never heard.
So sometimes in my position, you get surprises, and some of the surprises you just dread because you don't know what's coming your way or where the information come from. And so I got a phone call today, and all that came up was Ohio. And I had no idea what Ohio L was. So I get a phone call, and I was notified by the Ohio Department of that Taylor Nussbaum was the Ohio Department of Lottery Region 7 November Teacher of the Month. And so she is getting some prizes. She'll represent us because she was selected by the committee that puts our school into a drawing to see to receive a prize for the lottery. So I'd like to congratulate Taylor Nussbaum. I found that out this morning that she's November Teacher of the Month selected by the Ohio Lottery. So it'll be on her website.
Yay.
That is the
one? We've never had that before, correct?
I'm not aware of anybody from Chippewa having that award before. So that is the staff and student recognition for tonight.
Thank you. Next, we have consider approval of donations, and
we don't have any.
All right, we are now moving into public participation. We have one speaker, please.
Who is it?
Mr. Smith.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to the board tonight. I just have one short request, I think, short request. In the future, I would ask that the board publish the reference material and backup material. I'm not sure exactly what to call it, but the material that backs up the agenda and the items for the board. Agenda, which would be best, or at the very least with the minutes of the meeting. I would certainly, perhaps others, would appreciate having that additional information. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We're now moving into the treasurer's update and action items. Board members, I need to ask you to vacate the stage and go down front because Mr. Hammond has a video to show him. Something, PowerPoint. PowerPoint, not a video. PowerPoint?
Slides.
But we can't see it from back. Slides.
Can't see it from the screen. So while that's
while that screen is coming down, I'd like to take just a couple minutes to make the board, or kind of reiterate to the board, but also to the public, that our state representative this past week, our fiscal year 21 finance have been approved as an unqualified or a clean report, and that should be out there at the state online here in the next 10 days. And so for that,
I appreciate the help of my staff, who has worked very hard, very diligently over the past 2 years to get this audit completed. Board meeting, I talked about wanting a little time to go over the five-year forecast that we approved in November so I could get it submitted. That's what you're seeing up on the screen. This is just really meant to be a gateway into the presentation I have tonight. It's not major. I'm going to touch on some highlights. And so if we could just move from this one to the next one, Sean, I'd appreciate it. So the five-year forecast. So some key takeaways for the current fiscal year. Revenues are up over last year about 1.46%. Expenses up about 5.96%. And we have a projected surplus at the end of this year of $562,000. Along with that, down below, salaries are up. Real estate taxes, that does not include any public utility tax, 1.5%. Interest rates at a low of 0.08%, currently now paying about 3.7%. A huge dip in interest rates over the last 10, 12 months. That will have an impact on our forecast additional revenue. Next, Sean. So what are the revenue drivers? Real estate and tangible personal property. Out of total revenue, it's 41%. The ODE, or our state foundation payments, is 36%. And our school district income tax comes in at about 17% of our total revenue. So of that revenue for fiscal year 23, we're budgeted $2,804,000. And compared to last year at $14,592. As you can see on the there, the percentages or how those different categories compare between taxes, tangible property, income tax. I did slide in an extra couple there on the end for the rollback. Expenses, we're at $14,242,800 for this coming year. Of that, if you take a look at salaries and benefits, and this is the same story, that 78% of our total expenses for fiscal 23. Purchase of services coming in 13%. That 13% is made up of our utilities, our contracts with the ESC providing student services for us. So salaries and benefits as a percentage of revenue. This is a comparison of where it's been over the last 6 years. So from fiscal year 22 at 73%, where we're forecasting for fiscal 27 at 83%. A big part of that is, if you'll notice, in fiscal 22, 23, and 24, we're transitioning and moving higher. That's because we have been able to supplant expenses using ESSER or pandemic type funds over the past years, which are now being built. In addition to that, as we all know, wages, salaries increase, benefits increase. The benchmark, go back one slide, yet. At the top there. So in a profession, the benchmark is that salary and benefits stays less than 80%. So do that, but we will creep up if our revenues don't change here in the next couple years. Ending cash analysis, that's what's left at the end of the year. That's in our reserve. So in fiscal 22, we ended up the year with about $8.2 million. We anticipate with that $500,000, $600,000 surplus going up to about $8.8 million. A little less, but still in fiscal year 24. And then we're going to start coming back down for the rest of the five-year forecast. True days. What are true days cash? That's the amount of cash we have on hand that if we got no more revenue, we could stay in business. So if all of our funding sources stopped right now, we could exist for 26 days, technically, for fiscal year 23. And as our goes down, you'll find that our 2 days are available cash to get us through in the event of no resources starts to drop. The benchmark from the ODE is they prefer to see us have a reserve end of at least 90 days. One of the things that happened ago was the way the foundation or the state provided funding for our children. That is called a fair schooling formula. From my perspective, it is a more transparent, a fairer way to distribute funds among the school districts in Ohio. And we are reimbursed based on children's and in our seats, as opposed to children who may live in our district but not attend our schools. So the ODE funding, and this is based on the recent reports from the state, we get approximately $2,294 per Chippewa student. Doesn't sound like a lot when you consider it takes about $11,000 to educate one child. But that's school district income tax, the real estate taxes. Stay back there 1 second, John. So that $2,294 can be adjusted based on wellness factors, transportation provided in the district, career programs, the percentage of poverty that you have in your district, or the children that are challenged with English language, like me. Okay, overall, so fiscal year 22, cash balance was $8,250,644. Projected right now, we'll end up with a cash balance of approximately $7,703 at the end of fiscal 27. The little girl there on the right with the binoculars, I'd like to think that's a chip looking forward to the future. And what are we looking forward to? We're looking forward to inflation. Medicare, we have no idea what kind of increases we'll see. State funding, that gets changed every 2 years in the biennium. We are now finishing up the second year of a biennium. They will be doing another state funding impacting our fiscal 24 and 25. Makes it very difficult to plan your five-year forecast when you don't know where they're going to end. Diminished fund balance, if we have some expenses that we weren't anticipating, it take down our reserve. And the last one, which is at the bottom, says time to adjust. So we're in fiscal year 23 right now, moving toward fiscal year 27, and we will keep an eye on what the horizon brings, and it does give us time to adjust to make sure that we stay a financial district. Thank you for your time and looking at this report. So I would like to move on into my action items time. The first one is the approval of the November 22 unaudited financial report.
All right, action item number one. Upon consideration to approve the November financial report, I need a motion.
So moved.
Thank you. I need a second.
Yep.
Thank you. Any discussion? Mr. Golub was the first. Mr. Shafroth was the second. I hear no discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafroth?
Yeah.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yeah.
Mrs. Pham?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes.
Let me cover the next three of them before you take your motions, please. So we recently received a OFCC security grant. There was a lot of work that went into this. I would like to thank Jamie Zollinger for all of her efforts to make this happen. As a result of those efforts, we ended up getting $100,000 to put into Hazel Harvey and $100,000 into CIS. And I think between the superintendent and myself, we're ecstatic about that. The third item is a Ohio Bureau of Workers' Comp invoice for us that we're looking to have approved tonight. They bill us the first of every year for workers' comp insurance for the upcoming calendar year. And the last one on there is a purchase order for fuel for our buses over the school year. So with that, I would like approval on those items.
Ready? All right. First one is number two, upon consideration to approve the acceptance of $100,000 and $100,000. I need a motion, please.
Motion. He got me.
I have a first and a second. Mr. Hershberger was the second. Mr. Golub was the second. Any discussion?
Just reiterate what Ira said. Thank you, everyone that worked on these grants.
Thank you very much.
Very happy when I saw the news on Facebook.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yeah.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yep.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes. Action item number three, to approve the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation invoice. I need a motion.
Motion.
Thank you. I need a second.
Yep.
Thank you. Mr. Berger was the first. Mr. Shafrath was the second. Do we have any discussion? Thank you. May we have a roll call?
Mr. Hershberger?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yep.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes. Item four, upon consideration to approve for bus fuel. I need a motion, please.
So moved.
Thank you. I need a second.
Yep.
Thank you. Mr. Golub was the first. Mr. Shafrath was the second. Any discussion?
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yeah.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes. Mr. Osborne, BAC, please.
Business Advisory Council, just a reminder for everybody, this is required by law, that Business Advisory Council, and we join through the Tri-County ESC, so we're represented in three different counties. I do take the quarterly newsletter they put out and put it on the website for anybody that has an interest in reading at what's going on. We get a lot of feedback from businesses, employment figures, unemployment. We then submit our plan to ODE as the things that we had work on here in the school district that aligns with that plan. And our focus, development of curriculum for future jobs and instilling employment skills in our students. Trainings, careers that are designed and held by the BAC are there, and we participate in them, and kids have the choice to choose in those also. So for any further, I can get you on that website, but it is posted on there. It is a nice organization, and I'm happy for the Tri-County doing it for us. We also got a little unique thing, and Mrs. Hughes and I spent some day, but our scores were released today for the third grade reading guarantee. So this is the and question is, what does this score mean? These are the kids in the fall that identify their reading at a third end of third grade level already. So they're pretty much two semesters ahead of time. So just to give you a perspective of our score today, which I'm holding back on purpose, in 2017, the fall score, 56% of our were released and they had met the standard. They were proficient. In 2018, 44%. 2019, 49%. In 2020, 47%. 2021, 49%. Our scores released today, we showed 60%.
Yes.
So that is a nice job through a pandemic by our staff and our leadership here, and the work that is just unbelievable increase on that piece. So it'll be interesting to see where our neighboring schools are, and hopefully they increased at the same rate we did, but we're pretty doggone happy today. Our goal is still 75%. And that's the goal that we're working on, and when we hit that one, we'll choose a new one. But pretty doggone happy today with 11th increase for our staff and the leadership there. And that is a combination of Hazel Harvey and CIS staff. So kind of give you an update on that piece. Moving into my agenda, we'd like to hire an aide. I'm recommending Jessica Hetch, as a paraprofessional teacher aide. She comes in at step zero, and she'll be starting January 3rd, 2023.
May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you. I need a second, please.
Yep.
Mr. Golub was the first. Mr. Shafrath was the second. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yeah.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes.
So moving on to the grants that we did receive, I'm ready to spend them. So asking for consideration, we want to update the securities for door locks, cameras, and the software, totaling $1.28 for that grant, and that would be also door at Hazel Harvey for $39,900. Funding for that is through the OFCC security grant, as you can see that written on there.
All right. I need a motion, please.
Motion.
Thank you. And a second?
Yep.
Thank you. Mr. Hershberger was the first. Mr. Shafrath was the second.
When are they going to start?
Boy, I'd love to give you that answer. We worked all the way back in November anticipating that we were going to get the grant. And so we secured them. So this is going to align all schools under the same FOB system. Oh. You may have a FOB, but it may only get you in one school. But realistically, it could get you in all three. So that makes Sean has been working with Southeast Security. As soon as I get a date, I will send that out. But, you know, we were hoping over Christmas break that this was as little as possible, but where we were hoping to get to. But the software may be in before the doors are in. Can't put the software in because the wiring has to go in the doors. So it's a coordination between the two people. But I know that Birch and Mr. Linder are working on it, and as soon as they give me a hard date, I will let everybody know.
Some of those cameras, are they not?
Yes, on the playgrounds.
So it may be a weather issue, too, I would think.
And we're hiring somebody else. They can work in the cold. We've been working in the cold. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of when they get in there, when they wire. But I got to have everything together to get everything up and running. So everything will be all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yep.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yep.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes. Motion passed.
Okay, so upon consideration, approve the purchase for Southeast Security locks, cameras, and everything. And this is at CIS that's coming back through. CIS will have new front doors.
Oh, amen.
And they'll have new playground doors.
Oh, good.
All right, so where they come in off those. So both of those will be secure entrances, totally. So they'll be able to do that. So you may get in, we may buzz you in the front door, and then you have to check in with the secretary. If you try to skip that, you're going to be locked in that vestibule. There's no way into the building. Currently, once you got in the front door, somebody opened the door, you could walk in and you could go. Now you're still going to be stopped there. So we'll be able to secure both entrances of CIS and Hazel Harvey. We're looking at replacing the playground doors. The kindergarten wing has doors over there, so we have two ingress points. If we needed to get off the playground fast, there's two ways to get in instead of that single door. Those doors, plus the kitchen door, as the health inspector told us, the mouse highway. We're going to replace that entire frame. It is just completely rusted out and rotted out, so that'll be replaced also with that security system, and we'll upgrade the cameras there.
Thank you. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you. And a second?
Yep.
Okay, Mr. Golub was the first. Mr. Shaw, any discussion?
When are they going to start?
I'm going to flip a coin. It goes first between Hazel Harvey and CIS. Same companies, but I'll get it to you.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yeah.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes, and the motion passes.
Ask consideration to approve the contract with Frontline Education. It's an analytic subscription. Starting December 1st, What this will do, similar to what I talked about here, let's say we want to compare ourselves in the third grade reading scores, fifth grade scores, and seventh grade scores to every school in the county, this program will do it. We don't have to dive into it. We don't have to create it. We don't have to do it. Anything that's reportable to the state, this will be there. If we wanted to also then go to every school that has the same economics as us, how much money is Rob spending, then we can put that information also there. So we can compare ourselves in different ways to different schools across the state, to our own county, to the schools that mirror us identically, to number of kids, to the economic backgrounds that are coming in, to the per capita income. We can keep comparing ourselves out. It allows us to weigh our data, knowing who our peers are, and see as we're progressing, are we progressing at the same level? We want the subjects that are tested. We can also have special ed, those kids in an IEP. We can measure all of those things. The system does it itself. It does it. It's very slick. I'm looking forward to it. My first plan in February is to have some sort of presentation using these analytics, kind of give you an idea of what it looks like.
I need a motion, please.
Yep. So, he got me.
Mr. Schaff, Mr. Golub was second. Is there any discussion?
Yep. How much is it?
$7,000. Yeah, it was on the.
I can pull up Exhibit C real quick.
How much was the board update?
It was like about $7,500 for 18 months.
I think it's about, at least according to the exhibits, like $6,000 from one of them and then $3,000 for the second. Am I looking at the wrong thing?
Bear with me 1 minute.
Mr. Hammond was negotiating the contract, so.
So for the last half, 7 months of fiscal year 23, it's 3,600 and change. And then for the full year, so a total of $9,880.13.
Thank you. Any more questions? Discussions? We're good?
Mr. Schaffrath?
Yep.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberg?
Yep.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes. And the motion passed.
Asking for consideration to approve the purchase for installation of the outfield fence, swing gates, and foul poles at the softball field. The amount is $43,200. This is a permanent improvement expense.
Thank you. May I have a motion, please?
Make a motion.
Thank you. And a second?
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Berger was the first. Mr. Golub was a second. Is there any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Schaffrath?
Yeah.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes. Thank you.
On consideration, approve the second reading for the federal procurement policies, DECA, DIF, and DJF/R. These were the ones that Mr. Hammond went through in the previous meeting. These would become board policy then, and he needs these.
I make a motion.
I'm sorry.
I make a motion.
Oh, thank you, because it was riveting reading. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Hirschberger was the first. Mr. Golub was the second. Any discussion?
Mr. Hammond, this was one of the corrective actions recommended for the fiscal 21 audit, correct? Okay.
Even though we got a clean report for fiscal 21 as far as financially, there was some, I call it operational issues. We have a federal procurement policy in place. I had to write up a corrective action on it, and right now I was pushing because I wanted it in before the end of December.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I find it interesting that ORC's got six additions to it. So I also like the note on the bottom of this where it says boards vary these. They don't write them because of the Ohio Revised Code. It's like, I like that they put that. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yeah.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Schaffrath?
Yeah.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes. Thank you.
And lastly, contractually, the consideration to approve the hiring of Rena Loverink, as a Title I tutor. She will be starting January 3rd, and there's 97 work days that she'll be working through contract for till the end of the school year.
Thank you. I need a motion, please.
So moved. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take Mr. Shafrath first, Mr. Golub second.
You can have it.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Hertzberger?
Yeah.
Mrs. Finn?
Yes.
Under my consent agenda, this normal operations, supplemental coaches or contracts, their names and the percent that they are hired or over are listed on there. We do have a classified substitute workers. They'll be coming in at the substitute rate, depending on the position that they are that they work. They're willing to work in several different areas. Teaching substitutes, you'll see Rena Loverink is there. She's willing to start this week, knowing that last week before school, before winter break, and then she'll pick up as title tutor. But she's willing to come in. She did students. Her cooperating teacher, her team teachers, and the principal there all recommended her for the title tutor job. She's done a really nice job as a student teacher. Sometimes you just get a true professional, and she was. And so she is ready to jump right in the fray. She already actually has 2 days that she's subbing this upcoming week, ready to go. Also, a couple of non-bachelor substitutes. I mentioned the one time that we are hurting for subs. We have a local person in off 1 day a week during the week, rotating, listen to the board meeting, and said, I'll help you out. He's willing to come in 1 day a week on his off day. If we happen to need somebody, we call him. He's coming in. He said he'll do anything for us that we need. Right. So it's good to hear that, one, listen to the meetings.
Yes.
And two, we got a little response from that. So we still, just to give you an idea, we had 173 students today out at the high school, just the high school.
The flu is,
yes, the flu is hitting us hard.
Yes.
So substitute teachers and staff is truly still needed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I need a motion, please.
Motion.
Thank you. And a second?
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Hirschberger first. Mr. Golub was the second. Any discussion?
Mr. Hirschberger.
Yes.
Mr. Golub.
Yes.
Mr. Schaffer. Mrs. Finn.
Yes. And it passed. One side note, I am excited to see that some of our students are coming back to work for us. Mm-hmm. I think that says a lot for our district. We're now going into board discussion. A is strategic plan update. I do believe that's Mr. Osborne.
Yes.
Thank you.
Runner, so we kind of had a COVID hit in our office and sickness in our office. So we had an old plan that was sent out, was missing some of the updates. With that, between everything I was doing, I didn't get that up to you until late and later today. You may not have a chance to see that. I will get hard copies to everybody. We will have an updated strategic plan on the website here. But my target area that I discussed myself before I opened up to the floor was we came into the end of last year and this year seeing on our academic achievement, with the primary focus being on our alignment of the academics and instructional. So aligning the curriculum and having some common instructional materials was implemented this year. And we have a dyslexia law that was out there that didn't have everything that we have to be able to move forward. So we kept on waiting. So it kind of got implemented late. So I do appreciate the hard work the teachers put in it at the lab up with the curriculum. Kind of wasn't fair to them. We were at the mercy. It's not like we planned it or lack of planning and are waiting on feedback from the state. But with that, this is what we talked about today. Our third grade reading scores is an indication of an aligned front where our teachers are using the same materials. And then they're going to go from kindergarten to first grade, to second grade, third grade, to fourth grade, where there's an alignment of the instructional materials with that. And along with that, the focus that we had, and that has been a focus that the principals and their academic teams at grade level have focused on, we're seeing results from that. The kindergarten teachers reported the kindergartners in this year's class are ahead of any kindergartners they've had in the past. Those classes as a whole are further ahead than they have in the past, because they have that, they're able to look back and see where they are. So part of that is that targeted front, the implementation of Fidelity, everything coming forward with that. So I'm extremely happy with the growth that we're seeing, not only in the growth that the teachers. The second piece of that, in objective two, one of the things I talked to the board about was bring an instructional coach, someone to help our teachers work with the new technology. I mean, I went to school in 1984. The first time I heard of a computer was 1988 at Kent Saw one. And I had some floppy disk about this size, it bent like that, that I stuck in here. Kids today are born with this technology. They are swiping, touching, moving screens. And I'll be honest, there's people that are my age or around my age learning it as they go. The kids may be farther ahead of them. Judd has met with over 80% of the staff, has worked with the teams and individual teachers to develop, they can develop the instructional skills, and the improvement is unbelievable. They are trying new things, engaging kids in activities that are online to how the kids like to learn. And so it is going pretty well. Judd had an update for us that he sent out, early update. He'll have another one that's coming this way. But he has said teachers are now moving along, trying different things, and the end goal is to accelerate the learning of kids. So my reference to the kindergarten class is an example. Engage with the kids at their level, and it is helping. We are moving along and meeting with kids where they need to be and moving forward at a faster pace. So in terms of the strategic plan, academically, we are using data to drive our instruction, and we are moving at a good pace, and we have some primary targets. Our teachers are ending these activities and instructional tools that we are giving them with a lot of fidelity. Come spring, that our test scores are going to be reflective of the work that they have put in and the targets that we have set for them. So we are truly at the bar. So academically, that part of the strategic plan, not only I actually think we're ahead of it a little bit. And those updates will be in there and the things that we are doing. I know when I sent it that if you had some other areas they wanted to discuss or bring up, that hopefully I'd be able to aim to catch your interest or came forward. I mean, Ira's done the financial update here tonight, so that answered a lot of those questions, I would assume. But I just wanted to bring up that strategic plan and get everybody a little ideas academically. Administrative leadership team, our team is extremely happy as to where we are, and we love the growth that has taken place.
You good? Thank you.
I am good, unless somebody has any on that strategic plan, if they got a chance to look at it.
No, but I did have one question. Does preschool anything to feed into kindergarten, since preschool is right here? So it's just not kindergartners. I mean, would kindergartners be farther ahead because preschool is enforcing, you know, starting those, that information?
Each one has separate targets.
Right.
There's definitely some alignment there. Okay. But what builds off of them, So there's still a pace that comes with that. So the foundations that we purchased is not only dictating that pace, it's giving us assessment information back, and that data backs allow us to driving instruction. So we are getting better data than we passed.
Thank you.
Just as a general note, you know, kind of flipping, I think it's very impressive that we seem to be ahead in the academic area of the strategic plan. Just kind of, you know, looking through the updated and others, and goal two was seemed particularly impacted by the May ballot, the failure of PI levy. Just kind of the other goals, where would you say, like, we have this, would you say we're ahead of schedule in some other areas, or just kind of had to readjust, or what's your, I'm asking you to, like, say, oh, this goal, this objective right here, I know off the top of my head, but, like,
no, I mean, generally. Refocusing our plans, I mean, the plan was to get the softball field done. And we're there, literally. Our biggest hang-up is corporate. We're waiting on Ohio Edison First Energy to take power out there. We have every done. We're waiting on them. Corporate is our biggest piece. We have a fence company that's coming in February. As far as I know, it could be a foot of snow on the ground, ready to put this fence in and get their equipment out there. And they're telling me they can drill through that hard, frozen ground. I'm rooting for them. But we're done on our end. Everything that we can do, we're waiting on. realistically, financially, we're going to have to, and that'll move into what Mr. Hammond has next, financial reserve side. We still have a track that does not have a base underneath it. We did a core drilling. There's no base underneath it. So the decision will have to come back forth to the board as to what we're going to do with this track. It's possible we can get through another year. It's at the point now that it's asphalt. It's Ohio. It freezes, it thaws. It freezes, it thaws. It's just a matter of picking a time when we're going to do it. The PI levy would have addressed it. Now we're going to have to, you know, adjust to that piece. Mr. Hammond will kind of get into that. So some of these permanent improvement funds are unknown. And them going to be, we're going to start setting aside funds, have to pull it out of the general fund and set aside those funds to address these items. So they're not being discussed, yeah. But they're knowns.
Yeah.
We just haven't moved on them. So moving to B, the financial reserve set aside, I'll let Mr. Hammond take care.
Okay, I can do that.
Rooting for you.
First, under the first part of the agenda earlier, I failed to comment on the fact that Finance Committee has done very well this year, I believe. We have met every month. I think it's been good for me. It's been good for them. I think they have a better understanding, and it helped fine-tune my own skills a little bit. So I do thank the Finance Committee for your with me.
Well, thanks for putting up with us.
Well, and the Finance Committee is composed of?
Gerald and Jay Hirschberger.
Thank you. Mr. Hammond, thank you. Thank you.
To where we're at today, we are in a very good position financially. My concern is that we start planning for major expenses down the road while we're in this position, so we can start setting aside funds to cover those big expenses at some point. I passed out to you this evening, and really this is meant for discussion. I've thrown some things out there. There may be some numbers or some dates I just picked air, but I'd like to think they was a little scientific guesswork in there. Things like the track resurfacing. What we're talking about right now is not the immediate, but if we went out and had that track resurfaced tomorrow, we know that in 8 years, we're going to have to redo it. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to cost us some big dollars. So we want to make sure that we have money set aside to take care of that. We dulled turf in the stadium approximately 4 years ago. That's $600,000-$700,000 bill. We want to make sure we start setting money aside now, because it has a lifespan to it. It may be 10 years, it may be 12 years. But from my perspective, as I look at my five-year forecast, as I look at my days in reserve, I want to be forward-thinking. I want to start planning for the future, which is something I think we've done a lot of, and we need to start setting aside some of those resources to carry us through those times we have the major non-operating expenses. And so looking at is, I've thrown out just half a dozen items: a track resurface, a stadium resurface, a CIS roof. That would, when I say a CIS roof, I'm not talking about where it stands today. You need to get the roof, and then it's start saving for that. Mm-hmm. So we need to tap a chunk of our reserve now to get those things corrected. Yes, this building, the junior senior high, it was recently built. We shouldn't have any problems with the roof right now, but 25 years from now we will. So over the next 25 years, we should start putting some money aside to take care of, give or take 25 years. So that's my intent when I'm talking about financial reserves, mm-hmm. and putting aside now for those big expenses that eat at our facilities because our buildings are not meant to last forever. I used to struggle with, why do I have to replace the windows in MoMA? I just built it 15 years ago. Well, windows wear out, which sounds really stupid. Our vehicle fleet, which would encompass our buses, our pickup trucks, all of that stuff. They have a life expectancy. We need to start setting a little money aside now to do that. Now, what happens is, within the state's accounting software, I'll bite my tongue on this one, they have provided a fund for you to move money from your general fund into a special fund, and it is called a capital projects fund. It is an 070 fund. It will allow you to move money there to cover these type of capital expenditures going down the road. The advantage of that is it allows us on a day-to-day basis to have our operations. It also pulls money out and allows us to protect it for those big expenses down the road. So I need your thoughts, discussion. To do that, I have to come to the board with a resolution to set up to establish this 07 fund, and then we're going to want to fund it, and then I'm going to suggest, based on whatever, that we make that first year funding in short order. So those are my thoughts from my heart. I don't know what you as a board want, which tide is. If I just ran through the list that I put together tonight for your view, I'm looking at $350 of set aside. But it's on these expenses down the road.
So benefit of the 070 is if we move funds into it, but then say we need, or if we need to move something back to general for something, we can do that as opposed to the 003.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so between the permanent improvement fund, the 003, if I move money into the 003 fund for capital project, it has to stay in the permanent improvement fund unless I want to petition to move it back into the general fund. The beauty of the 070 fund is if there's a time that I need that for operating expenses, I can move that money to its original source and use for operating expenses. Now, this is a fund that every year everything goes back to where it came from if there's money out there, and then you're going to reestablish it and move that money.
So it has a 10-year
lifespan.
Lifespan?
Yeah. So every 10 years you're going to have to reevaluate it. And the process that I put forward is, let's establish that fund, let's fund it, and then I think annually, as a board, you should be reviewing that and say, does this set aside make sense? Where are we at in this process? Do we need to increase it? Are we putting too much in it? We need to do something that's more proactive than what we've done since I've been here.
Yes, we need to be proactive, in my humble opinion.
Anyway, that's my
I totally
whatever, yeah. So you guys can discuss it as you want to.
Can more money be added into the any time, or once you fund it, does it have, is that all that can be funded at that time when it's established?
No. If I just looked at this number, I'd be putting, and we said, hey, that's good to go, we do it, I'd be $350,000 in it every year.
Right.
Now, I may be taking money out of it because right. 5 years from now I need to do something. But we can always adjust, we can always change that number. So that's it. It allows for tweaking, for adjustment.
Yeah, and these are items, not so, I mean, we could make a list longer of things we could do right now, but it's things that we know have a set deadline after 8 years, stadium turf or some, whatever the time is now. We know it's we have a certain predictability to it. It's time. We need it by then, essentially.
Right. And Todd and I was talking about this earlier today. One of my difficulties is communicating to you that the track, we need $300,000 to fix it right now. That's $300,000 that we need to fix it now. This or to take care of it 8 years from now, mm-hmm. after we had a good base starting point. Mm-hmm. The CIS rule, if I just use the numbers that was thrown out last year when we were looking at repairing that roof for approximately $1.5 million. Yeah. We need to get the roof fixed. And then at that point, it should have a lifespan, and that's where we're to cover the nut down the road. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So this, for example...
Can I hear yeses?
I think this is a great idea.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really
is. In fact, I'd like to see us even go more with, budget. I don't know how budgets are per building or per academic preventive maintenance budget. I'd like to, I think a preventive maintenance budget and a preventive maintenance schedule would be interesting to see. I like the transportation because I know our buses wear out, and so instead of a board, just this board, but I try very hard to think of 10, 15 years down the road, whoever's on the board at that time, they have the facilities and the money left to keep replacing the buses and keeping them the best they can. So I think for me, I'm looking down the road for the district. So I'd like to know that we have buses we can and replace the field. So thank you. I think we've been needing this for a while.
It's budgeting 101.
Yes. And I like that we know where the money is going, what we need to do. We need to maintain it. I mean, we need to get it up to the best it can be and then maintain it.
So let me just caution you. So when you talk about budgeting, usually when we talk budgeting, talking about short term. Mm-hmm. So this is really mm-hmm. a long term piece. So it's a little different. I just want to make sure that we're all clear when you talk about budgeting. I'm not talking about maintenance of my building for the next year or two. I'm talking about long term, the major thing. The AC goes bad in this building. That would be a major expense.
So this is more of a long term commitment, correct?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Well, good.
Long term, we still like the flexibility 070. We're not boxing ourselves in necessarily, because mm-hmm. we can move it back to something else if we need it.
This is not meant to destroy day-to-day operations. Mm-hmm. It's meant to supplement it by taking a piece aside so that 5 years from now, when the roof eroded, because it got 5 years worth of use, we can now, without impacting our day-to-day operations.
Yeah, I just enjoyed that element. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. Quick question, since the high school roof is here, we using the PI money that's on this building now, or that PI money is for other items?
So good question and point. So that's a specific. And if you'll notice, I put an approximate life of 25 years. So the OFCC permanent improvement piece that we have is a mill. Mm-hmm. And that will take care of those improvements 23 years, but my roof goes in 25 years. They've set that up for a period of time. We can still use that if there's still money there. Does not negate that. But my guess is 25 years from now, that won't cover all of our major expenses.
Because the eye on the building now is more to keep maintain it right now, where
right.
You know, the leaky faucets, the running commode.
Well, kind of. Don't.
Okay.
The day-to-day wear and tear, no.
All right.
But
more of.
There should be maintenance agreements
yes.
and set in place.
Maintenance agreements. What a marvelous idea. Thank you.
So I'm assuming by what I'm hearing, you're willing to entertain a resolution in January to set up the 070 fund.
Resolution, personally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Moving forward. I think that's important, and I think that is, we'll be able to go forward with, you know, the district and keep things moving positively. And I love being proactive.
That's all I had to say.
Thank you. So we're looking, the board is in, kind of like, go for the motion, do it in January. Let's motion it, fund it, and get moving on it in January?
Well.
Or whatever the steps are?
I would like to get them to get it set up.
Yes.
But I think we need to have a little more discussion on what are the items we want to, because when I set that fund up, I want to give it special code so that I got a code for, just using my list, the track, a code for the stadium.
Correct, I understand.
A code for the roof, so that.
Individually, yes.
I'm using envelopes out there to benchmark it.
Yes. I just want to make sure that if we do this, we're going to commit to it, that we do the motion, we do the funding, we do, you know, we keep moving with it, not come back to it and wonder what, where we're at.
My goal is to have this funded by the end of March. Now, that's my goal.
All right.
I'm dependent upon you as a board.
Yes.
To let me get that done.
So would we establish the fund and transfer money from the 001 in the same meeting, or be like we establish February and move it in March or something like that?
We'll establish the fund in January.
Okay.
And you've got February and March board meetings to have discussion to see what we want to put out there. It makes sense for you as a board.
Okay.
And then I can, in closing my March statement.
Yes. Thank you. Are we good to move on?
Waiting on you.
Thank you. All right, we are in new business, folks. And one of the things in the December meeting we always get to is get ready for the new year for 2023. So I am going to need, we're going to take care of new nomination to approve somebody as president pro tem to start the January meeting. And what happens, that person pro tem starts the meeting, and then the board, I think one of the first or second actions it does is go into vice president. So this is the president pro tem is to begin the January meeting. Once elections take place, then who elected will take over. So I need a nomination, please.
I think you did a mighty fine job tonight, Linda. You're my nomination.
Well, thank you. We have Mrs. Fenn nominated. Do we have any other nominations?
I mean, I'll just thank him for being a board president this year. I'll throw out a nominate TJ, just a gesture to him.
All right, fine. I appreciate that. Any other nominations? So
now we have to
how
vote.
Do we get two? Well, now we get two.
Well, I can withdraw if you want to be it.
Yeah, he didn't come tonight.
That would, so okay. Well.
Treasurer will have to hold a vote. We had two nominations.
Right. Well, I think board. That's a discussion between who's here and who isn't.
I'll make it easy because he wasn't here. I'll withdraw the nomination for TJ. Can I do that? Am I allowed to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
So meeting. That's all.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, yeah.
That's all that they do at that point in time. That's who we're starting the meeting, and then a new president and vice president has to be elected. So.
Well, you get your new president sworn in. Mm. They take over the gap.
Yeah, it goes from there. So it's somebody can get a meeting started.
All right, so Wehen was nominated to be president pro tem. So now I need a motion.
Motion.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Hershberger, was that you?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Hershberger was the first. I need a second, please.
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Hershberger was the first. Mr. Golub was the second. Discussion?
Mr. Hershberger?
Yep.
Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
We have a majority.
Thank you. All right, the 2023 Board of Education meetings at the Junior Senior High School Auditorium. Unless the organizational meeting will start at 5 o'clock on January 9th.
And then we will have regular meetings starting at 6. We have 12 meetings scheduled, and there are 3 work sessions scheduled. I need a motion, please.
So moved.
Thank you. I need a second.
Yeah.
Mr. Golub was the first. Mr. Shafrat was the second. Is there any discussion?
Question.
Question? Okay.
January 9th, 23, can we, I know this year we did January 10th, we did the organizational meeting, then following we went right into regular meeting. Can we do the same this time and having 2 in January?
Well, the organization meeting is at 5 on the 9th, and then a regular meeting.
Regular meeting in January.
Well, so you're saying there's 2 regular
Yes, meetings. In January.
All right, never mind.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
Is there a specific reason why the June 30th meeting is at 8 a.m.? I know why we have it, because it's the close of the fiscal year, but it's just...
Traditional piece, it's usually to cover any item left over that need to be approved financially in that piece.
Well, I was just
and
asking...
So, for lack of better, we come in the morning, we go, everything up his day. He has approval to finish up his day.
All right.
So he's able to do... We can you move it on the 29th. You do it Thursday, and that night, there's no 31st day, he could be stuck.
Okay.
So you just kind of do it, it's more of a catch-up. It's just come in, you're approving some financials, and we move on to present anything that he would need to have done on the financial when it's there. Traditionally, it's been an 8 a.m. meeting.
Okay.
I have to approve final appropriations for the current year. I have to make sure I have whether temporary or permanent appropriations set for the next year. And sometimes when I get my appropriations for the current year approved, something happens that messes that up. Mm-hmm. So it's better to do it almost on that last day.
Yeah. No, it's just... No, yeah, it makes sense why it had me. I was just curious as to the morning as opposed to the evening. So, all right.
I'm just going to say if we're pouring like 1,000 yards that morning, there's a good chance I will not make it.
No problem.
So, I mean, let's
we need a quorum for 3, then we can deal with that.
We can hope for rain, too.
Realistically,
you
it's...
You want me to start doing my business now?
It is a... What's hopefully, that? It's a 5-minute meeting. You come in, we go. We have everything locked up, down, things closed up. It's approval and move on. And you have all the information way ahead of that piece.
Nope.
But I understand.
I just like the fact that he was thinking big, 1,000 yards.
I'm hoping.
So if you just got like 500 yards to pour, you'll be here?
Oh.
Yeah, they could probably handle that.
Okay. Just trying to find your cutoff.
Yes, sir.
So we actually got 13 regular meetings and
yes.
3 work sessions, not 12.
That's correct.
Because we have 2 in January.
Yes.
Correct.
Right. Mr. Golub?
Yes.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yeah.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yep.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passed. All right. We need to have an executive session for items B and D. And as far as I'm aware of, we would not be coming out of executive session to handle any business. So may I have a motion for executive session, please?
Yep.
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Shafrath was the first. Mr. Hershberger the second. Is there any discussion? Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Shafrath?
Yep.
Mr. Hershberger?
Yep.
Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
I got it.
And the time is 7:19?
Correct.
Oh, I got that one.
Right.